Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, September 13th. We're back with you. It's not a Friday the 13th, but I think we have one coming up, no? I think next month.
Hopefully in October.
Yeah, I think next month, because I was scheduling some guests, and I realized that we're going to have one. So that's cool. I don't really care. You know, to me, 13 is a lucky number. You
I
know?
Like the number 13.
Yeah, for Jews, it's a lucky number. You know, it's your bar mitzvah and everything, and it's pretty cool, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how you doing, Rachel?
I'm great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Me too. Well, we're this morning we grabbed the person in here. Her name is Melissa, and she's a host here on LA Talk Radio, and she happened to be in the hallway, so we just grabbed her in here, and we're joined by Melissa Hill. Hi, Melissa.
Hello, Sam.
And welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's kind of a different view. I get to see that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, outside, right? Because you always sit here where I'm sitting.
Right.
So you can't really see outside.
What's the show that's on that you host?
Yeah, what's it called?
It's called Melissa Hill Raw Talk.
Okay.
Raw well, talk.
Or it's in the process of being changed to what the hill?
I love that. That's good marketing.
In the process of changing. Just change the friggin' thing.
Well, I forgot because we just changed it last week and I forgot.
That's awesome. What kind of show is it? What do you talk about?
I call it the Seinfeld of radio. There's nothing specific but everything. Actually, last night we were having a bit of an environmental conversation in regards to some local stuff that's happening here in Studio City.
Yeah, you just came back from a protest. Literally, like you were like, I'm in the
You're protesting? Were there a lot of people protesting?
Tell us about the protest, because you just told us that against building a parking structure, right? What's there now?
A mountain.
Oh, leave the mountain.
That's exactly my sign said, or it had a the name the school. There's a school here, a private school called Harvard Westlake, and that's really, I guess, prestigious for
college prep.
Right. Actually, our mayor Eric Garcetti is a graduate from that high school.
Yeah, that's for all the kids that live up on the hills and stuff. You know.
Yeah. And they want to build a parking structure across the street from their campus, which is currently now a hillside, which has never been touched. So they want to excavate the mountain. It would be like at least a 3-year project. That's without any delays. So it'd be 8 to 9 months of them hauling away the soil, the trees, the bedrock, and everything.
What is the community like? Do they want it, or is it
no?
The community
absolutely
is
not. It's considered an open space because it's a habitat for wildlife.
Right, there's so much wildlife there. I'm sure.
Exactly, and people don't think that there is, you know, but there's deer.
Where do those people park now?
On their same side of the street that their campus is on, they have two parking lots on their campus, but for some reason they want to remove a mountain across the street.
Why don't they just build up in this parking lot?
Thank you very much. When I wrote a letter to LA City Planning, and that's what I said. I said, you don't want to do it all at one time, build one level each summer.
Yeah.
Right, but that costs a lot of money. It's not
taking over a mountain.
Yeah,
right. But the flat one is, it's just you pave it and that's it.
No. They want to remove a mountain and that's there's fossils, there's bedrock.
That will be more expensive, I feel like, cuz they're excavating rather than just building on a already paved.
Yeah.
It's going to be at least around $60 million. To do this, and it's a private school. You know, schools don't pay taxes, so when the earth movers drive into Studio City from Sun Valley, They'll be going there and they'll load up the dirt and they'll drop down an axle and they'll turn around and go back. And there's going to be over 13,000 truck trips in a 9-month period just to remove the soil and bedrock and trees and dead animals. Sorry, but in the excavation process, there's babies, animals that live in the soil. Even ones that we don't know about, the ones that are used for food for the bigger animals, they'll all, snakes, tarantulas, everything, they'll all just be ground up and put into the truck and hauled away with the soil. And in that process of removing such ancient soil, and which is different than dirt, because it's full of nutrients and it's loose also, so it's not even compact. Which means it's not stable, so there's currently houses up there and, just past where they want to build the structure. So while they're removing the hillside and the bedrock and everything, they're also going to have to somehow or another support the houses that are up there. Yeah. So, I mean, the whole thing is just ridiculous. And not only that, they want to build a pedestrian footbridge that connects the parking structure to the campus. And again, it's a private school, so there's no public benefit to the rest of us, the commuters or anything. And Coldwater Canyon is considered a scenic highway, which means that it, some people think, oh, it's so ugly, the trees are dead and all that. But it doesn't matter. It's still, part of the scenic highway and open space is trying to preserve what's natural, live within it, but also preserve what's there. And if you build a pedestrian footbridge, you're blocking off the scene of the scenic highway.
Yeah.
and that's public airspace. So they want to build something in public airspace. One side of the footbridge would be in bedrock. The other side, which is on the campus side, will be in a different type of system, just dirt, which means the two sides aren't going to be the same. So when there's an earthquake, the bridge is won't be stable because it'll be moving in different directions.
It sounds like a terrible idea.
It is a terrible idea. There's not one good thing about this, and we seriously can't understand why it's even still being discussed. Mm. Why is it even being considered?
What do you guys need for it to be dead?
I think more community awareness. I believe that they're just trying to secretly pass this through. One day people will be driving to work and they're like, oh, they're doing construction here. And the other thing too is in order to do a project that big, you have to do studies, like a traffic study. Sorry, Sam.
Yeah. I know. But also the traffic is going to be horrendous.
Exactly.
During the construction.
Right, exactly. Right.
Because it's a one-lane street. You know?
Right. Right now, traffic is already backs up. Past Moore Park,
right?
Those who are in the area, what I'm
right.
talking about.
Can you imagine to get into?
I would start a social media campaign.
I have.
I would just spread that on Facebook.
But to be honest with you, I don't think people would care that much. Anybody who's not in the area couldn't care less.
Well, but right, exactly.
Well, anyone who drives through there,
yeah. Exactly. I mean, there's lots of people that commute from Simi Valley or whatever. But the thing is, there's an illness called Valley Fever. When you remove soil that old, there's these spores. I can't pronounce the name of the spore. Mm-hmm. But there's spores that when it's dry out. So in LA, that would be between the months of June to November. And when the soil gets disturbed, the spores are released, and those can travel within a 500-mile radius.
Right.
Anyone that breathes those in, who might happen to have their compromised immune system, be it maybe they're going through chemotherapy, or maybe they have HIV or AIDS, asthma, COPD. A certain type of diabetes, if you're a young child, if you're an elderly person, there's so many variables. I mean, any number of any one of us who's you know, maybe I just came back from traveling and I haven't slept very much and not eating well, then my immune system's down. I could get valley fever, and it can kill people. It does kill people. And apparently, you know, it's a very painful death because it affects your respiratory system. And, I've read stories of people in the community. We share stories on nextdoor.com, and there's some local neighbors that know people that have died from valley fever. Like, for instance, in the 1994 earthquake here in Northridge, there was a dust cloud that hovered over the valley for about 2 months. You know, but back then they didn't really know it was, you know, valley fever. And the thing is, the symptoms are just like the everyday flu or cold. Mm. So people might not really, and your animals can get it. Your dogs are more susceptible to it just by the fact of their nature of sniffing. Okay. Anyway, sorry.
All right, well, enough about cold water, Canyon.
I would never have any idea about it. That's crazy.
Right. Well,
this happens all the time. People try to build. There's always people not happy with it. And what are you going to do, you know?
Well, I mean, this isn't an everyday little structure. They want it's 750 parking stalls in a scenic highway. Can you imagine an airport terminal parking structure being let out in front of your house?
Right.
I mean, where are they going to go? And then on the top of it, the top level, they propose to put an athletic field, stadium-like lighting, locker room, a 2,800 square foot locker room.
They're out of their minds.
Netting. Mm. So from bottom to top, it would span as tall as a 9-foot building, 90 feet.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, really quick.
Enough of that. It's starting to bore me, but...
If you want to find out more, go to savecoldwatercanyon.com.
Savecoldwatercanyon.com. There you go. Mm-hmm. The reason I'm rushing is because we're going to have a guest calling in a few minutes. This is kind of an unusual guest. We're going to talk about goat milk soap. So, but she sounded like an interesting woman, so I wanted to bring her on. So she'll call in a few minutes. I just wanted to tease that. And so, yeah, if you guys like Melissa and you want to listen to her show, it's on every Tuesday at 7 p.m. right here on LA Talk Radio. Melissa Hill's Raw Talk, soon to be What the Hill.
What the hill?
I love it.
Did you guys hear about the new iPhone came out yesterday or announced yesterday?
I heard there was a problem with the demonstration.
Yeah, I guess they were trying to show the facial recognition feature of it, and it didn't work or something, you know.
Perfect.
It always happens to them, you know. But... So they introduced.
That's what they get for trying to charge people $1,000 for an iPhone.
Right, right. And they'll get it. Believe me, they'll get it. You know, but it is, you have to realize, you know, now the body of the phone is all glass. It's really a luxury phone when you think about it. And and that's what they're trying to do, you know. They're trying to really get into more even high-end so they can charge more.
Maybe they'll paint the glass with a clear skid-proof coating.
Yeah, right.
So you can hold on to it.
So we can hold it. I know. What's the point of the phones if you can't hold them? You know, every phone needs a case. But I love to hold them when they don't have a case, you know. It's just that it's like Jell-O. It slips out of your hand.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
So that's...
These cases right here, the kind like that, lifesaver, total lifesaver.
Yeah, one that closes like a wallet or something.
Right, because it keeps me from slamming my phone down and breaking the screen.
Yeah, right. I know, we got to protect ourselves from ourselves. So they announced an iPhone 8 and 8 Plus, which those are not much different from the 7 that we have today. But then the iPhone X, which I believe is iPhone 10,
yeah,
it's probably supposed to be pronounced iPhone 10.
That's what he said.
Just like the Mac OS 10, you know?
Yeah, that's what he said, because I saw it on the TV before I went to my demonstration.
I figured that they would call it iOS 10 because it's a 10-year anniversary.
Oh.
Yeah. But let's go ahead and take our guest right now. We're going to be joined by Elizabeth Sanders. Elizabeth, are you with us?
I am. Hi.
Hi. Good morning. How are you?
I am doing great. How are you?
We're doing great. I'm sitting here with Rachel and Melissa, and I was telling a little bit about you calling. Where are you calling us from this morning?
I'm in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Is that what you said?
So yes, that is correct.
Oh, okay. So what's that, like two cities or something? Like Minneapolis, St. Paul?
It actually was. Winston and Salem were two different cities that kind of merged. You know, that's where you have your Winston cigarettes, your Salem cigarettes. It's a big tobacco town.
Wow. I didn't realize that. That's true, right? Those are names of cigarettes, Winston and Salem.
That's right. Wow. Yep, that's where it came from.
Yeah.
Is there a town called Virginia Slims?
Right?
There's Virginia. So, Elizabeth, so have you lived there all your life? Is that where you grew up?
You know, actually, I grew up in Minnesota at the age of 14. I moved out to Wisconsin, and that's where I experienced the harsh winters. You know, winters in Wisconsin got down to about 20 below zero, and at that point, my hands would start to crack and bleed. So we had some goats. I started to milk them and use their milk to make soap one day, and the rest is history. So the goat milk actually healed my hands completely, and from that experience is how horseapiece.com came to be.
Wow. Mm. So you actually used goat milk. You were milking the goats or something. I mean, did you think it was going to work, or did you just sort of like inadvertently found out about it?
You know, it was just something that I just wanted to try to use up the milk. I didn't look at it as something that would cure my own skin condition. I had dry skin, like I said, with my hands cracking and bleeding when I would go out to milk the goats or I would go outside to train horses. And so it wasn't something that I had expectations for, but what I was surprised about was that after I made that first batch of soap, my hands never, ever cracked or bled again. And so we've been making soap now for 9 years at horseapiece.com, and that still continues to hold true today.
Wow. So the soap actually works like the milk did on your hands?
That's right, exactly, because what happens is the soaps that we produce have absolutely no water in them. Most natural soaps will have water as a liquid base, and even people who make goat milk soaps will have mostly water and a little bit of goat milk. But what separates us, apart from other soap makers, is that we use no water, not even a drop. So because of that, the milk provides a whole bunch of vitamins and minerals that you don't necessarily get. You know, some deposits of water might have some vitamins in it or minerals, not vitamins per se, but with minerals in it, whereas the goat milk, it has vitamins and minerals that actually will help with, like, fighting acne. It'll improve your complexion. It can help people who have eczema issues. So the goat milk just has a wide range of, you know, great stuff in it that was the ingredient that I was missing for my skin to be able to heal itself.
Wow.
That's crazy, because for me, milk makes me, and dairy makes me break out. I get, like, cystic acne from dairy.
Wow. Yeah. So this is...
Yeah, it's interesting because with people, you know, like that, Rachel, it's interesting because with the goat milk, it's made up a bit differently than cow's milk. So a lot of people who can't have dairy or who break out from it will actually experience the opposite with goat milk. It will help heal their gut, and so that they can actually, you know, function normally on other dairy products except made with goat milk.
Wow. Mm. Very interesting. For those of you joining us, we're talking to Elizabeth Sanders. So you started a company called Horse Apiece.
Yes, that's correct.
And so I see this is a ranch. You live on a ranch?
We currently live in town. When I moved from Wisconsin to North Carolina to marry my husband, I moved into a city. So, you know, we started keeping goats outside of town to be able to provide the milk that I needed to continue making the soaps. And then we found out quite quickly that the poor little goats just could not keep up with the amount of production that was going as our business grew from year to year. So what we started to do is we started to partner with other farmers in the area that we found were dumping their milk because they couldn't find enough buyers for it. So we started buying their milk to be able to provide what we need for the company, and the farmers started to benefit because for a regular gallon of cow's milk here in Winston-Salem right now, it will range between $2 or $3 a gallon, depending on, you know, where you go to purchase it. But when you're a goat milk farmer, you actually get 3 to 4 times that price.
Right.
For goat's milk. It has such a high price tag on it. So the farmers really started to benefit that they actually had a product that, you know, we were buying up as a company and being able to help provide for their livelihood.
Right. Wow. Hey, did you have any business experience before this? Have you done anything like that?
You know, it's
like
funny because I actually did not. This has been something that I have had to learn along the way. I've had to learn how to interact with customers. I've had to learn about how to market. I've had to learn a lot of different things. And then some of the things that I didn't know were actually things that my husband was really good about. So I was fortunate when I married my husband. He's an IT man. He, you know, he works with computers. He knows website stuff. He knows how to do coding and programming. He even does professional photography. So he does all of our product shots. So it was literally a match made in heaven between what I was already doing with making the goat milk soaps for horseofpeace.com and my husband with his talents that he already had.
Yeah. Wow. Very interesting. You know, so, yeah, so it was, like you said, a match made in heaven. You guys got married and you also were able to start a business together, which is cool, I think, you know. So, so this soap, I see you also have it available for pets as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
Right. So a couple of months ago, we had some customers that were asking if they could use our soaps on pets. Knowing that our soaps were made with all natural ingredients, there's no dyes, no chemicals, they started asking us, can we use this soap on pets? And so we were able to tell them, yes, while the ingredients are completely, you know, healthy for humans, it can also benefit pets. So a lot of pets, I found out, struggle with the same skin issues that people do. They have eczema, they have dry skin, they get psoriasis. It's the number one thing that pets will go to see their vet for. And so when we started to create our Healthy Pets line, we were able to create soaps that had a fragrance made from plant-based essential oils or some that are unfragranced for pets that are especially, you know, very sensitive to scent. And so the Healthy Pets line currently has been able to help pets also gain healthy skin instead of having those issues with dry skin and eczema and, you know, those kind of things. They're now experiencing healthy skin just like their owners.
Wow, that's very cool. Well, that's great. So when did you found the company? When did you start?
I started 9 years ago, 2008. So uh-huh. We're coming up on our 10-year anniversary this next year. The company has just been rolling along. We've had 4 sons join our marriage. So our oldest is currently 6, then we have a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 2-year-old. So in the midst of all that craziness of just, you know, building a business, growing our marriage, then you have these 4 sons dumped right into the middle of it. So I have to say life is exciting and interesting, and at horseofpeace.com, nothing is ever, you know, just calm and quiet.
That's very cool. Well, congratulations on 9 years, you know. I mean, that's not many businesses can reach that point. And apparently you found something that that people have a need for. And
that's exactly it. Yes. Yeah. The New York Times actually had an article come out that we were mentioned in because there's a lot of people who are in this national trend of looking for natural products for their skin. So we were very fortunate with the way that the company was already building itself to be able to fall right into, you know, that need that people are looking for in a soap that's not going to harm their skin but actually help heal it.
Right. Yeah, very cool. So, but now, so you didn't have a background in business or anything. What did you do before that?
Well, when I was currently on the farm, you know, getting this experience, I was a farm girl. I was fixing machinery. I was waking up at 4 in the morning to milk cows. I was training horses for people. I was a farm girl. But, you know, it's funny how that just kind of, you know, helped me to learn how to take care of animals, which led to milking them, which led to having an excess of milk, which led to the business. You know, it was just perfect steps to where I am today.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to you. That's amazing. And so give people again the website where people can reach you.
Yes. Our website is horseopeace.com. That's the word horse, like the animal, the letter O, P-E-A-C-E, such as peace and love. And then .com, and you know, if people wanted to order off of our website, they can get a 20% off coupon by using the code LATALK17. That's LATALK 17.
Sounds good. And so Horse of Peace, and you can find all the soaps, great packaging, great looking soaps, and like you said, so they have odor control, I see, and bacterial cleanse, so you pretty much have everything covered, and that's cool, you know. I mean, you really came out with an impressive company, so I congratulate you for that.
Thank you, sir. We have a little bit of everything for any kind of skin type.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Elizabeth Sanders, thank you so much for joining us, and everybody go out there, get the soap. If you have problems with your skin, that's probably the answer.
I'm already on the website looking.
Yeah, awesome.
I think we all oatmeal soap in the discount aisle.
That's right. Awesome. Oatmeal is our number one bestseller. Try it out.
Awesome. Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and all the best to you.
Thank you so much.
Bye, Elizabeth.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Yeah, it's amazing to me what you know, what people can come up with and stuff, you know. And they're saying here, I didn't really go much into that, but they said she lived a lifestyle similar to a Amish. So, you know, it's like, I guess on the farm and stuff, you don't really get to be out doing much. You
well,
know?
You're nice that she had got access to a phone to call in. That they let her.
Well, she's not there anymore. I mean, now she's got a company and she uh-huh. lives in the city and stuff. But that's funny.
Yeah. I wonder if she churns her milk.
What's
that's
that?
That's what I picture.
You know, if she churns.
Oh, well, she said that she doesn't do it like that. You know, they have farmers they buy from.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you wouldn't have enough milk that way.
You know? Well, you said she, you know, lives like Amish, so.
Right, well, she did. They're saying that she did.
I didn't get a chance to ask her any questions.
Yeah. So anyway, going back to the iPhone then, the iPhone 10.
Yeah.
We just left off on that. The question is, are you guys going to buy it?
No.
Too much?
My phone works right now.
Yeah, I know. But some people have to have the latest, like me. And then we're poor all the time because we have to have the latest of everything.
I feel like that. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, some people are saying, look, this guy's saying people are looking at it as it's an investment. It's the most important part of their possessions and stuff. So they'll invest in it. And sure enough,
if the iPhone is the most important part of your possessions,
right?
God help you.
Well, you know, I mean, look, we're connected to it like nothing else, you know, and it's not like the current phone costs is so much cheaper. You know what? There's also $800, $700, $800, I think.
I only get mine when I'm like, when I can get it for like $200 or whatever.
I take hand-me-downs.
When you like,
really?
When like I'm eligible for an upgrade. So
right,
it's not
right.
Like a
when
bajillion
you're eligible.
Dollars.
I remember when the bills for mobile phones were $800 and the phones were nothing. Yeah, they were like
50.
Plastic, like a brick.
That's true. That's the way it used to be.
Right. And the guy would come to your house and bring it to you. She probably wasn't born
I know
yet.
What the gray cell phone was. Yeah.
Yeah, the block. Oh, are you talking about the brick or the block? The brick? Oh, okay.
Those were weird
right.
phones.
And then man. And then when Motorola went to I guess it was the first flip phone and the it was like I used to play with the phone hanging it from the antenna. Yeah.
Oh god.
It's stupid. But yeah, that phone bill I remember was outrageous because I was like, "Hey, I got a cell phone. I can make a call
you
from my bathtub.
Call everyone you
right,
want."
Right. Yeah. Oh, shit, that's $800. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. No, it's fine. You know, the thing is I'm always wondering why they don't just you know, make an iPhone for everybody. They might as well, right? I mean, everybody owns one, so it's you know.
Well, there's.
It seems like everybody owns one. The company is almost $1 trillion in value.
Mm-hmm. I think it's disgusting,
right? $830 billion based on iPhones and Macs alone.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I mean, I think that I think it's rude that they created stuff that is now society is dependent upon almost, you know, like no one can remember what it was like to have a cell phone that just made a phone call.
Right.
I mean, even then it was magical.
Yeah. Too user friendly.
Right. I remember my first Nokia where you could have a photo. I was like, look at the photo on here.
Right.
You know, it was all
take pictures on your
phone.
It
was all grainy. And when it played music, it played Beethoven.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's awesome. But I mean, there's other phones other than the iPhone that they, you know, they get to have SIM cards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or not SIM cards, but memory cards.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. What is this thing you have here, Melissa? What is that?
Oh, this is the mask that I was wearing for the protest.
Oh, why did you have to? Oh, for gas? For nerve gas?
No, not nerve gas. Sorry. This is a filtered breathing mask that protects you from particulates.
Oh, I see. Particles?
Right. Particles, right. Okay. Like, for instance, fungus, spores type particles.
Okay, so this was sort of to make a statement.
This was the statement I made.
Okay.
And I'll be honest with you, I was told not to make the statement. I did. It was because they said, you know, don't wear a hoodie because it gives the feeling of violence and torture. And I thought, well, no, it takes away from the person wearing it. To where you could just see the mask.
Right.
That's how I saw it. And I wanted to actually have a line of people just being quiet,
right,
shoulder to shoulder to extend the length of the parking the proposed parking structure, so people would have a visual, you know, something to actually go, oh wow, you know, it's going to be that big. But I was told not to do it, but it turned out being really cold, right?
Who told you not to do that?
I don't know. Some
friends,
people, you know, yeah. But so I get there and I was late because I actually saw they were already on the news on Channel 11 anyway. And so I was the only one on the other side of the street, and there was media there actually. So there's newspapers, and Channel 7 was there. And so I put on my mask and I walked across the street. I did the normal way. I had a big red sign with black letters, and I just stood there. My arms were like shaking because I was standing there for so long.
You're they crazy, hurt. Man.
Yeah.
You're
so, crazy. But it was, you know, I got to make my
statement.
I don't
think she's crazy. I think that's cool. Yeah. I mean, if you don't have people like her out doing that, then stuff, this is what happens. Things get passed without people knowing it, and it's good to have people like you who are paying attention, who care about something other than themselves and about the environment and how it's going to affect people. So we need people like you.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm, you know, I honestly, I feel I'm a little late to the game. Apparently this has been going on since 2013, mm-hmm. the first time that they tried to put the proposal through. And you know, so I don't know what happened back then, but, you know, so they put it through again, this time trying to claim that it's for student safety. But it's like, how is it student safety? They're safe if they stay on their own side of the street.
Yeah.
If you're putting a structure on the other side, you're creating a situation that even though there's the pedestrian footbridge,
they're going to
walk across the street. And everybody says that. There's not one good thing. No professional of any industry, you know, be it construction, environmental, or anything, has said that this is a good thing at all.
Yeah.
Period.
Okay. So, well, we talked the shit out of
Sam
this fucking topic.
I guess I'm Sam like, wants the parking structure.
No, I don't. I don't give a shit at all, one way or another. I'm just like it. You know, after a few minutes of talking about it, I'm like, okay.
Wow.
Let's
Sam's
move
never
on.
Had to protest for anything.
Yeah.
Have you ever protested before?
No, I haven't.
It was my first protest.
Yeah. I participated in the Women's March. This year for my birthday,
in January.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And that was like a really cool experience. And then because of protesting, I mean, if we didn't have protesters this year, there would still be a Muslim ban. There would still be,
right?
You know, like who knows? DACA would get passed without any repealed without any problem. I mean, we would have no health care right now. So protesting is necessary.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it wasn't about yelling things, and it was just about just being there so people be like, why is that chick standing there with a sign? What's that say?
Yeah.
Oh, a mountain. Well, what mountain? You know, maybe hopefully it would inspire people to ask questions.
Knowledge.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, let's move on to Florida. Problems there with Florida.
Oh, I heard on the news.
Did you hear that six people died in a home?
In a nursing home.
Nursing home, yeah. And that's sad because I guess they didn't have AC there.
I know.
And they died three at the home and three at the hospital after that.
Well, that's what I saw an article said. Living in Florida is amazing until it's not.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. There
I mean, you're building on a swampland that suffers from giant hurricanes.
Right. Bill Weir said that it's not meant for human habitation.
Where? Florida?
Florida, yeah. Really? She just said, you know, it's swampland. They actually cleared the swamp or drained the swamp to build it. So
Well, that's sad, you know. I mean, it must have been a terrible death, you know, to just die from heat and shit.
So I only got part of the story because it was right before I left. So were they in Key West? Where were they?
That's Hollywood, Florida, actually.
Oh, so how is it that they just found out?
Well, that's what they're conducting a criminal investigation, actually, into this to see what happened.
Oh, okay, yeah. I walked in the room.
There's probably a lot of that goes on. Yeah, I feel like down there, just people getting taken advantage of and not being properly cared for, and just people taking their money.
And that's the thing we forget about times of disaster, about all the people that can't help themselves, you know?
And the animals, did you see they were putting these flamingos into a bathroom?
Oh, that was so cute. It's better, I mean, sorry, I'm going to... Cuba didn't save their flamingos.
Really?
No,
really?
It was really awful. Sorry, I'm not going to... Happy. Yeah. Flamingos.
It's funny because you posted something about flamingos, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, you did. I didn't even know about it until she posted.
You know, actually, here's something interesting. So, was it just Monday morning... When did the hurricane hit?
It was Sunday night.
Okay.
Last week, yeah.
So early Monday morning, because I have friends that live in Florida, and I went onto Facebook to check on them to see if they've checked in, and I found this Facebook page. It's the safety check-in, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you go there, and there's people requesting help and people offering help. And so I was like, oh, wow, check this out, right? And so I happened to scroll through when a girl was saying, help, I need shelter. I'm in Savannah, Georgia, and I've got my kids. And she was in her van. Her name was Nene Good. And I said, oh, go to this webpage, because I was like all about the FL-511 in the Florida disaster/shelter thing. Mm-hmm. And she says, but I'm in Savannah. I'm not in Florida. And I said, oh, well, I think I saw other people posting offers for help to offer shelter. So I scroll through. Anyway, long story short. So she's in Savannah she needed diapers for her baby. And by the time we finished, there was a group of 19 of us that had all, like, I grabbed a few people from, you know, I put out a message saying, does anybody have diapers in Savannah, Georgia? Yeah. And all these women responded. And so then I grabbed the women, you know, put them into the conversation. It gives me goosebumps.
Did you get her diapers?
Yes, she got diapers and she found shelter.
Oh my God, amazing.
Yeah.
From California, you're helping.
I mean, it was really cool.
Well, that's what it takes. It takes someone, you know what I mean? Like, you got to have help.
I have goosebumps right now just thinking
so
about
cool.
it. Sad thing was, she got fired, though. Because it was really weird. So she called into her work to say, I'm stuck in Savannah because the bridges were closed. She couldn't turn around and drive back. And so they fired her.
What job was it? Where was she work?
I don't know. Some healthcare job.
Shame on them.
Right. And so all of us said, okay, when you go back into Florida, check back in with us. And so next project is
finding her a job.
Okay. So you like to devote yourself to other people and stuff, right? Have you always been like that?
I don't know. I mean, before I started doing the show here two years ago, you couldn't get me out of the house.
Really?
And I really, part of the reason I enjoy doing the show is because it brought me back to life.
Yeah.
And so now I just find interest in so many different things, but I don't know. I guess I do like to help. You know, I try not to extend myself too much. I mean, that was so simple. You know, it's just because I realized she's stuck. I have a phone. You know, I have power. She doesn't. So it started off with, you know, if you need me to make any of these phone calls for you, let me know. You know, and I was sleep deprived. I don't think I went to sleep that night. And, you know, I went onto Facebook to check on my friend, and I ended up being up all night trying to find shelter and diapers.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was neat.
So if you're just joining us, the voice you're hearing is Melissa Hill. She's a friend and a host here on the station. And you can listen to her every Tuesday at 7. And you always have cool guys, cool guests here, mostly guys.
Yeah.
Mostly guys. Have I ever seen a woman on your show? I don't think so.
Yeah, there's been a couple. There's, you know, it's funny because I'm doing exactly what it is that I hate what my guests do. Don't you? You never let me talk. This is the bad thing about having a host as a guest,
uh-huh.
right? Because they're just like, da 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 da.
Yeah, they take over. I do.
Sorry.
Yeah, so when I go on as a guest, I try to really hold back, you know, because, yeah, as a host, you just want to run the show. But no, this is fun. That's why we invited you in here, you know.
I mean, yeah, as a host, I don't really get to talk that much. I call myself the traffic conductor.
Yeah, right.
I'm just going, boom, your turn. You know, last Tuesday, it was ridiculous that we did a special two-hour, two-year anniversary show. And the guest that was supposed to be on didn't make it, but there was people in the room that wanted to see that guest, and they were kind of pissed that he wasn't here.
So did you spend the whole show bad-mouthing him and stuff?
No, I didn't. No, but they the did, people, yeah. Yeah. And it was, I couldn't get people to put their headphones on. Yeah. And I'm sitting there like, it's chaos. It was anarchy in here. And I was just, I was like, this was not the way it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be fun, God damn it. But we
had
cake.
Well, that's what happens when you put a lot of people in the studio. That's why I recommend four, you know, because then you don't have chaos in the studio.
Right.
But at any rate, that's the fun part about it, you know, being surrounded with people and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Guests that don't show up, they should be castigated, you know. They should.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's rude. It's very rude. People playing a whole show around you, and you don't show up, and then you give some cockamamie excuse, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, it's better. Either way, it sucks. But I mean, at 5:45 that day, I was in tears, going, "But I made plans. I had games planned, and we spent
and
all
make announcements on social media, and then you have to tell them they didn't show up." I know, man. I know. Well,
I mean, things happen. Family situations occur, and you can't help it. Yeah. So, what do you do?
I'm a stand-up comedian.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, you do look a little bit like Sarah.
I hate that so much. It's a compliment. I take it.
Really? You get it? That's true.
Oh,
you
all
do.
All the time I get
hurt.
Yeah. I get Aubrey Plaza, or I'll get... Who else will I get? I get usually Sarah Silverman.
Any brunette, any dark-haired brunette female?
Yeah, pretty much.
You don't get, what's her name? Anna, oh, God. The glasses. What was her name? Oh, I can't remember. Gia. Never mind. She was in that movie about loving dogs. You can love your dog, just don't love your dog.
What movie is this? Or what actor? She was
a comedian. She's like, you can love your dog, just don't love your dog.
Okay, we get it.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of her. Oh, well, sorry. Someone out there is going, it's such and such, damn it.
I know, right? I'm like, I don't know which one that is.
Yeah, call in. I'll remember afterwards, like Anna, Annette, or Anne, or something. I don't remember. Whatever. Quick change subject.
Yeah. Well, they're asking, is light drinking while pregnant okay? They're saying that apparently there's not enough research, not a lot of research, to show that drinking little can actually affect the baby. So that's what they're saying.
Well,
but
mothers are consuming cannabis now.
Right. But is that smart? I don't know. We don't have any
studies. We don't have like scientific studies, but there are... I mean, there, I think, might be some studies out there, but there are women who are either using topicals. I know a pregnant woman who smokes weed. She doesn't smoke a lot, but, like, it helps with her side effects.
Right.
And I know someone who consumed cannabis while pregnant with one. She had two kids. She consumed one with pregnant what? With one and when not with another. And the one that she consumed cannabis with has better eyesight. And it's a normal kid, so.
What's normal?
I mean, what's normal, right? Well, we all have endocannabinoid systems in our body. Our body has an endocannabinoid system. So, you know, our bodies are meant to consume cannabis. I mean, I don't see why.
Yeah, but wouldn't the kid be born already needing this?
He'd be born mellow.
Yeah.
I think drinking would probably be more harmful than consuming cannabis while pregnant.
Yeah.
Since our bodies have an endocannabinoid system anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. I have a feeling if you were pregnant, though, and it was a lot of stakes for you, you probably wouldn't take the chance. You probably play it safe. What I'm saying is, if there was something at stake for you, like if
I would
100%
consume cannabis.
Really?
100%.
And even if you don't know if it's going to harm the baby?
I would 100% consume cannabis somehow.
I think the thing that would be more dangerous would be if the cannabis was cultivated with pesticides.
Right.
I'm talking like if I was feeling sick, I would definitely use topicals. If I, you know, I would eat an edible. I would, for sure. I mean,
because it's like I was told even.
But the food we eat has pesticides in it, and that goes into the bloodstream, into the babies.
Right. So I think anything that's natural would be good.
Yeah.
So, of course, I just, you know.
But you're right. The pesticides are the biggest concern. more than anything, you know, that's what we're trying to figure out, because a lot of people, you know, we don't really know how they grow their weed.
Right.
And also the difference between eating pesticides versus combusting them, you know.
Yeah, so that's different too, right? Yeah.
Well, we don't have any government studies because we're not allowed to study it, you know.
Quick question.
Yes.
Quick change of subject, sorry. Did you see the story about the blob in London?
No. Blob in London.
Yeah. It's a congealed blob. It's in the sewer system, and it's diapers.
Really? Ew.
Yeah. They took a camera down there, and they showed it, and it's like a big white blob, and I caught just a bit of that story. Yeah, pretty gross. Anyway, go back to cannabis.
What's happening with it? It's just,
well, because they don't decompose the diapers, you know.
They're not biodegradable.
Yeah, they're not biodegradable. So they kind of accumulated in this one section in the sewer. It's clogging it up.
That's why I'm not having kids.
That's why, right
to
there.
To
right.
contribute to the carbon footprint and or right. to the London blob.
Right, the London blob.
Can you imagine diapers used to be made of cloth and you had to rewash them?
My sister,
is that the most disgusting shit
I don't
ever?
I do find that to be obviously gross, but
my sister's worse diapers
is, I think what's even worse is that blob.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you know, a kid cleaning after a baby's number ones and number twos, you know what goes into
right.
that, you know.
But
it's just
but
baby
would you
food.
Would you clean fucking diapers like that with shit in them?
Do you pick up after your dog?
No, I don't have a dog because of that.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Then I guess.
I mean, they don't make recyclable diapers. There's no...
Not that I know of, but...
That's fucked up.
Yeah, well, you'd have to separate it from the poop.
Yeah.
Like, ew.
Oh, you're right. Meaning, okay, I see what you're saying.
Right. There's so I'm no sure there's biodegradable diapers.
Biodegradable,
but
yeah.
Recyclable.
Well, I guess those cloths are recyclable.
Right. Yeah. My sisters, I have both my sisters were 8 years apart. So I was 8 when my first sister was born, 16 when the second one. So when my first sister was born, my mom used to put the dirty diaper in the toilet to clean it out. The second time she had a diaper service, but my dad had flushed the toilet. Yeah. With a diaper in
it. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So lucky he was like, he was a, you know, construction dude. He had to go under the house, open up the and oh pull it
God.
Out.
Oh, my God. How miserable.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Gross.
Apparently, even like they put a note on our door yesterday, the apartment building, that somebody's been using like hand wipes in the toilet and it clogs everything, you know? So I don't know what the hell's going on. You're supposed to be able to flush it, no?
Nope. No, some
no,
of
right?
them...
As a woman, you know that the only thing that goes down the toilet is toilet paper.
Right, right.
You don't flush... That is too thick of a paper.
And right. it doesn't dissolve or anything.
There's some that say they have a picture of a toilet on the outside that you can flush, like Cottonelle. But Huggies or, you know, those kind of wipes, no.
Right,
those,
okay.
You're not supposed
but
to.
But some people use them, like, for ass wipes and stuff, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So those are okay, you're saying?
Well, no. You have to look at the picture on the outside of the package and see if there's a toilet there or not. If there's an X going through the toilet, that means no flushy.
No flushy, huh? Wow. That's interesting. But, yeah, you know, I mean, it's a lot of things just don't dissolve in the water, you know.
Right.
And that's one of them.
It makes me wonder how old that blob is.
Yeah.
You know, because...
The diaper blob.
The diaper blob. Right. It's like Plastic Bottle Island. Sorry.
What's that?
That's my...
Oh, I hear a frog or a cricket.
It's a cricket. It's yes. Sorry. It's a woman that I helped take care of.
Awesome. Well, Melissa Hill, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me, Sam.
Of course. You always find... How can people get a hold of you if they want to? Social media?
Social media. I'm all about the Twitter. So I'm...
I'm going to follow you right now.
On Twitter, I'm MELHILL _ Mel Hill _ Raw Talk.
Okay.
It's on Twitter.
That's easy, and you can find her on Facebook.
Right. And on Facebook, I'm Melissa Hill Raw Talk.
Right.
Awesome. You can find me through the Neil Preston Photography Facebook page. By the way, those people who are entering the contest, get your goddamn entries in. Chestnut.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh,
Chestnut is the word.
Chestnut is the word. Okay, mm-hmm. folks. All right. Well, we thank Elizabeth Sanders for calling in with the goat soaps. Go ahead and go check that out at horseapiece.com. And that's it for today.
Oh,
Rachel,
thank
you.
Sorry.
He always named.
It's nice to meet you, Rachel.
Nice to meet you.
I always say goodbye and hi to Rachel.
Yeah, hi, Rachel. Bye, Rachel.
I'm a very polite
courteous
person.
Host.
Yeah. Do you have a friend named Ross?
The only Ross I ever knew was this kid I went to middle school with, and he was the biggest nerd, but also probably the smartest person out there right now, and he went to like some Ivy League school and is happily married. So
cool. Okay, that's it.
Ross is
kudos to you, Ross.
Bye. Bye. See you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.